Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, a very special election Tuesday, election day here
Yay.
In America. We're recording on Monday. Let's see if who thinks we are going to know the winner by, let's say, 2300 on Tuesday night.
No shot.
No. No
shot.
No way.
No.
No.
No. No. Not a chance.
You know what they should do, realistically, for America? They should give us out those little thumb things, the little buzzers that they used to use on America's Funniest Videos. We're like, okay,
yes.
Lock in your vote.
Yes.
Everybody just get some on your house. We get rid of the Electoral College. Just bring in Bob Saget and let him do the announcement of who can you vote for. You have A, B, or C, and you get to pick. And then we'll all lock in our votes and we'll know in like 15 minutes.
I mean, that was really how the founding fathers intended it. So I would agree with that.
I mean, voting is nothing like what the old founding fathers intended. Have to be a landowner, have to be a man. That's why people say I'm a constitutionalist. No, you're not. No, you are not. And if you are, you're a big old racist, like straight up.
Also, I would like to see them do they each have to do a talent portion would help me decide, you know? Like, they should each have to get on stage and entertain me, clowns, for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well,
Billy Clinton would have killed it.
He would have.
True.
Absolutely.
Dropping the old saxophone.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking the other day, though, remember in 2000? We didn't know officially until December. I kind of forgot that it took until December. So nothing will surprise me with this election in terms of
I read
knowing.
I read a thing today that – or I guess it was yesterday, that people who can vote now, like if you're just now voting, if this is you were born in 2000, almost every single presidential election that you've seen, three out of five, have been won by the person who did not have the popular vote.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. It really makes you curious as to how our old system works. But yeah, that's interesting to note.
Well, same thing with senators. Those fucks in Wyoming get the same thing as New York and California? You got to be kidding me.
That's nutty. All I know is that life's going to roll on. It might be wacky for a couple days, but we'll be fine. I was in Central Park this weekend, and of course, I've been so emo lately with all the hormones and everything. And the park was just full of people, like thousands of people, but everybody keeping their distance and wearing masks and like... But everybody was just, there was a giant bubble man, and there was musicians, and there was everybody, like, just existing peacefully. And I was like, this is America.
Well, that's because all the crazies were outside of New York with their big old caravan.
That's true. Yeah,
that's exactly. I'm sorry. You know, so driving up the Garden State Parkway in the summer on Sundays, you just want to get home, and you're always praying, oh, gosh, I hope there's no traffic. And then, lo and behold, yesterday, these people were doing a Trump rally on the parkway, just decided to just park on the parkway. What are you doing with your life that you have nothing better to do on a Sunday except go create traffic, not sit
especially
in traffic?
Now that football's back.
Exactly. There was plenty of football to watch yesterday. Yeah.
I guess they're not watching it. So.
Unbelievable to me. It's like, you guys are really sticking it to whoever you're trying to sticking it to.
They need a new hobby, and I'd suggest our friends at Arbor Tools because Arbor Tools are fantastic. If you want to do a little hobby goofing, you could do a power carver and carve baby Dale's name into something. You can make an incense holder. You could do basically anything you want. Just go to YouTube, type in Arbor Tech, and you can see all the different projects that people are making. It's incredible. You're going to be able to get that for 10% off because they're our presenting partner. Go to arbortechtools.com/zero and use the promo code zero for an additional 10% off. Ladies or fellas, if you're listening and you need that good, high-quality Christmas gift coming up, have your Christmas shopping done early, folks. Get some Arbor Tech tools. You're going to be spending some time at the house. Maybe just take a log and create something like, a candle from it. Maybe you can do that.
A candle. I swear, this is the time. If you have somebody who's crafty in your life, who with the holidays coming up, because people aren't getting to go out to all the holiday parties and blah, blah, get them like one of these awesome ArborTech tools, and then maybe like even find the piece of wood and instructions to a cool craft that they could do. Like make it a whole thing. I don't know, but I love that idea.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Make sure you go to arbortechtools.com, promo code zero. All right, we have five rounds in the magazine today as well. Round number one, big time American voting vibes this week. The question everyone is asking, does it get more American than this fella sitting in a waiting room just reading the old Constitution? I think that is just a stunt among stunts in election years, just sitting there reading your Constitution. I love this dude. Round number two, trash here. Get your trash here. Ice cold American trash here. Gear drift is a gift, and no one has experienced that old adage like our pals in Kandahar. Round number three, nature is healing. SEAL Team 6 took part in a raid to rescue an American who was being held hostage. Killing is their business, baby girls, and business is good. Round number four, fat litter trial rages on, and some of the details are awesome. Illegal, but awesome. We're going to talk about a little bribe, what it would take for you to, give away national secrets. And finally, round number five, I have a little election quiz, and you guys can be on the same team. They're going to have Kate and Cons on the same team, and I guess Kyle can chime in, too, to see if we get the election history right. And we're going to do all that starting right now. That startled my baby Dale. I'm sorry, baby Dale. All right. Poor baby Dale. Man, I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, Uncle Baby Dale.
Oh, okay, here we go. All right, so this week I am super happy. Even though we are recording before Election Day, I cannot tell you how happy I am that I voted early. Voting early, if you don't do that with the lines that are going to be tomorrow... Woo! That would be a terrible day.
If you're listening to this, I'm probably in a voting line as you're listening to it because my neighborhood polling place that I'm assigned to, the lines have been blocks long since last week. There's no good time to go. It's just nightmare fuel all the way around. It's great to see so many people out voting, but I'm just screwed anyway. So I figured, you know what? I'll go on election day. I was talking to a couple other people at the office. Roan's doing it too. We said at this point, just give us the full experience. Maybe we'll write about it being in line for like 8 hours. I once spent a whole night at Chick-fil-A parking lot for free chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, I think you're very prepared for this. This is something I was going to do it. I had a meeting with some of the other folks, the business folks at Barstool. And I said I needed to go because I wanted to go before the lunch hour rush hit for voting last week. And I said I was going to do a live blog and just blog the entire time I was standing in line, like stream of consciousness blogging. I was in and out in 10 minutes. Like, it was fast, like to get in and get out, which was nice.
So the only other time I had done a mail or absentee was when I was deployed in 08. So I had to do that again this year. And I'm kind of bummed because I really like pushing the buttons. I know that sounds juvenile of me, but I love just going in there, going in the booth, closing the curtain, pushing my buttons, feeling like I did my civic duty. And as much as it feels great that I got it out of the way and I've cast my vote, there's something a little bit lacking this year, I'll admit.
I gotta tell you, when I was in the military, I don't remember a single time when voting came around, any of us ever voting. Like, I can't remember any higher up talking to us about it and how to do it. I don't remember getting any information on it.
Those fucking idiots didn't know either.
People politicize the military so much. We're not voting. At least on the lower enlisted level. We're not out there. You're not going to see all the infantry guys in line like, oh, hey, brother. I don't know. I feel like
That's a good point. Like, I was just going to say, it's a great point. Like, I can remember voting in 08 and I wasn't walking around my cop saying, hey, guys, did you vote? Did you get your absentee ballot in?
Nobody.
I didn't care. I just did it myself.
We didn't know how. We didn't know how to do it. Yeah. Crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. You look at it now and like how divisive it is now. Like even amongst like veteran circles, there's this article that came out in the Military Times where they polled, I think like 1,500 different active duty and veterans, like about who they were voting for. And the divide between younger veterans and older veterans is so much there. Like Trump, anybody above 45, it was like 80% of them were voting for Trump. And then when you looked at the people that were 30 and below, it was the opposite way. Like, and I don't think even in military circles that you've seen that type of divide for a long time.
The troops are getting rowdy again.
Those fucking lib troops. They'll get you. All right, let's move into something a little bit more American than that. Now, to me, going to the VA, even though it sucks, I haven't been in a while. Luckily, they moved me to, I think, the 5 year. I only have to go back in and check in every 5 years, which is fantastic. It used to be like once every 6 months I had to go in there and do like a full physical, and that was terrible. But one of the only good parts was, one, the military order, the Purple Heart, was always there in the lobby, and they always had the best donuts in San Antonio. Just incredible donuts that you could get anytime you wanted. And two, you know for a fact you're going to see somebody who's an absolute wild card. At the VA, there just is.
Every trip I go, I make at least one old man friend that I walk out just delighted. Yeah, so you never know who you're going to meet. It's always a treat.
No, the wild card statement, now that I think about it, that's really, really true. You're always going to get one dude who... you're not really sure how that's going to pan out for that gentleman or lady.
I know I'm going to get a little harassed when I walk in by somebody going through that tunnel of wheelchairs, and then I know I'm going to make a friend. It's a treat.
And you know how you know they're going to be an absolute wild card? There is one rank that if you retire at this rank, you are a wild card. And that it goes no matter what branch of service you're in, E8. If you retire as an E8, you are just an absolute lunatic. Because you stuck around for like 24, 25 years. You're like, I'm not making E9. I'm getting the fuck out of here anyways. They're not going to give it to me, so I'm just going to get out of here. E8s are wild cards. I know for a fact this dude that's sitting in the that we're going to talk about now, sitting in the waiting room, reading his constitution, completely E8 election year vibes. Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm. I'm getting officer vibes from this guy. I got to tell you.
Why?
He's wearing khakis that are not cargo shorts. He's wearing actually nice khaki shorts. And he's got a collared button shirt that I think, and his shoes are kind of running shoes. His shoes are like athletic-y. And he looks like he's still in good shape. I'm saying this is an officer.
Yeah, he's an older gentleman with a tight haircut, polo. Uh-huh. The shoes appear to be double knotted, just to in case he has to go run the APFT at a moment's notice. So I would agree with that assessment.
But what's he doing that makes you think he's a wild card, chaps?
I mean, just one that it's a guy that's clearly almost 80 years old and he's wearing a bracelet. That's a wild card. Mm. You don't see somebody in that age group wearing a red bracelet all that often. And two, he's just being so casual about it.
But this is
something that he does all the time.
And what is it that he's doing for people who
he's
can't
sitting,
see?
So if you can't see, which is most of you listening, he is just sitting there with his legs crossed, wearing... Obviously, that
he's reading the Constitution. God damn it!
Oh, we haven't said that yet.
No, that's what she was looking for you to say.
Everybody's like, they're talking about this old man. We can't see him. What the fuck's he doing? That's so interesting.
Oh yeah, he's got the Constitution in his hand. He's got the full, not just the preamble. He's got the whole kit and caboodle right there with him,
yes.
And just perusing it while he's waiting for his appointment. I mean. I thought this was an outrageous move to have, unless you're an attorney. I think that's a very attorney move, like, oh, I had the Constitution right here in my pocket. Kyle said that he occasionally will just thumb about the Constitution.
He's got a pocket Constitution there handy on his desk, just in case.
And the Declaration of Independence.
Wow,
yeah, look at
twofer.
That.
The old twofer.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed.
I don't necessarily have a problem with this gentleman because he's obviously clearly in a waiting
room. I
don't
have a problem with him.
I'm explaining it. So we go in a waiting room. We're probably looking at our phones. We're scrolling Twitter. We're reading an article. We're doing something to pass the time. Maybe we're listening to a podcast, Zero Bug 30. Download, rate, subscribe. You're already doing that if you're listening to this. But anyway, there was probably nothing else there for him to read. So it's kind of like, oh, I'm on the toilet and I'll grab the shampoo bottle and read the back of the shampoo bottle. There was nothing else on the table for him to read. So he says, you know what? I haven't been in grade school in quite some time. Let me brush up on my old constitutional facts.
Oh, I don't think so. He does it way more often than grade school.
Oh, you think this is something he carries with him at all times and just keeps himself
fresh?
Oh, I think
this is his go-to move. Yeah, you don't just... You don't just happen to read the Constitution once in a waiting room. Once you've done it once, you've done it 1,000 times. That's your go-to move.
And when you're reading the Constitution in a waiting room, you want people to see that you were reading the Constitution in a waiting room.
Especially with it kicked up all high in the sky, like he's about to give some type of papal decree. My mother-in-law does this kind of shit when she comes to church here with us. She'll bring like her King James Bible with us and like read it like all the way up high so people in my heathen church can see it.
She's so holy. I have never read the Constitution all the way through. Never.
I would say you could join the group of people who mostly haven't done that.
I will say the one fact that I'm really proud of, what's the only amendment in the Constitution that's ever been repealed?
Prohibition.
Yes, thank God. We came to our senses on that bad boy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I would go so far as to say, you know, short of, you know, social studies in grammar school, no one's taken an in-depth look at the Constitution unless you had taken constitutional law.
We should do it. We should go through the Constitution one time, see what we actually support and defend.
We're just
doing it pretty blindly at this point, I guess.
Yeah.
We don't even know what's in that motherfucker. You have no idea.
Yeah. Honestly, it could be anything. It could be anything.
It really could. All right. So I have a little list here of things that do you think it's more American than just sitting in the waiting room reading your Constitution? Did I set it up better?
Yes.
All right. So here we go. Number one. It's more American than sitting in a reading the Constitution to believe that everyone else on the internet is also American.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to be dumb and assume that just think we're the only ones. Yes, that's super American.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very American.
Yeah. That's not a Russian bot that just
JC's. It's more American to have bone-crushing debt than be sitting in the reading the Constitution in the
for
waiting room.
For sure, absolutely. 100%. Especially 100%. If you're lower enlisted. Mm-hmm.
Fiscal irresponsibility is as American as apple pie.
Yep.
Here's a good one. It's more American to have a superstore inside a superstore, meaning a McDonald's inside of Walmart, because you couldn't have a standalone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yes. Of course. Yeah, I can smell it.
But I have to say, when that debuted, when do you think that debuted, where they had the first McDonald's and Walmart? I would say probably 1992-ish.
I was going to say 1990, so I'll take 92. I think President Bill Clinton, when he was campaigning, took McDonald's and put it on a different stratosphere when he was always seen eating McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's probably when it happened.
People say Trump's the only fast foodie. That is not the case.
No.
I've been a long time. By the way, what a move, power move by Target to get Starbucks as theirs. I mean,
dude,
talk about fancy. My goodness.
Yeah
just basic white women love it. Like anything that you're going to go in there, Target, you get everything you need. Your one-stop shop. This didn't go as well as I thought it was going.
That's okay.
No, it's going well. It's going very well. Let's keep it going.
All right, here's another one. Eating hot dogs and drinking shitty beer in the back of a pickup truck so is going to take you to from IUPA all the way into other
parts of
Delaware.
Yeah, blacking out in the back of a truck is very American.
Love it.
It's coming from someone who's done it. Yeah.
All right, the last one. A drinking age being 18, you can't decide when you're going to drink, but you can decide at 17 that I'm going to go to war.
Yes.
Well, yes. Yes.
That segment sucked. I'm sorry, everybody. Didn't go as well as I thought. I just saw that dude goof, and it's fine. All right, let's move on to round number two, which hopefully will be a little bit better. Because this one comes to us from Kandahar. What's going on with it, Kate?
All right. So nearly every single day, trucks bring 20-foot-long shipping containers from Kandahar Airfield to vendors at the Kandahar Bush Bazaar, a market named after the U.S. president who launched the invasion of Afghanistan almost 20 years ago. Nice little nod to, hey, thanks, Bush. You're the reason this bazaar is here for us. Most of the shipping containers contain junk, but some 1,000 workers sort through everything in hopes of finding refrigerators, beds, stretchers, anything that the U.S. and NATO troops withdrawing from Afghanistan don't want that Afghans can sell. This kind of reminds me of, what's that, Storage Wars?
Exactly when I was writing it out. I was like, this is like Afghanistan version of Storage Wars.
Yeah, you don't know what's in that Connex box. You're bidding on it. You're taking it. Hopefully it's something good. The troop drawdown means uncertainty and insecurity as the Taliban threatens Kandahar's periphery, even while it negotiates peace terms, but it also means business is booming for now. Scrap metal hooray! Scrap metal and plastic earn profits, and even empty containers sell for about $800 to use as offices or shops. Yeah, those Connex boxes, even here in the States, like after Sandy, they were bars, and they were used for all sorts of cool stuff.
Wait, do you guys like to go through one of these? I would have so much fun going through one of these boxes.
It would definitely be fun.
I think it was 2006, and the dog program got a shit ton more money because of the success that we were having finding IEDs. So with that, the program manager sent out this email to all the different kennel masters, and I got one, and it was, we are sending you a Connex box. It's essentially the same size of this, 20 feet long, and it's going to be filled with dog gear. And if you guys need anything else, just go on the government website, fill out whatever you need, and we're going to do it. Because if we don't spend this money, we're not going to get it the same next year, which is such a terrible way to look at budgetary spending, but everybody does it. So we got this huge Connex box, and all the handlers are going through it. They have all kinds of wraps, leather leashes. They have all these harnesses, these night vision goggles that attach to your dog's heads. They had just an unbelievable amount of stuff, and none of it was like inventoried or anything. They're just like, grab whatever you want, whatever you feel like is going to help you train, and just grab it. Dude, we were grabbing shit. I probably have like 5 or 6 Kongs still from that shipment.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. And I'm just thinking back of the Connex boxes that I saw. They were just crammed full of anything and everything. It's the backyard shed of the military, a Connex box is just crammed full of all your shit.
And 2 out of 10 of those Connex boxes are definitely filled with some type of lighting device.
Absolutely. But so some of these Connex boxes, these empty containers, they go for about $800 a pop, and some even have exercise machines still in their original wrappers, so they are.
I mean, that's a good deal. $800 for that bad boy. In Kandahar, if you have access to a big thing of water, you could easily turn that into a backyard pool.
Yeah, absolutely. The bustling scene at Kandahar's Bush Bazaar is a result of NATO troops and contractors throwing out tons of material. Vendor said, "I feel like there's such poetic justice in that it's called the Bush Bazaar and it's reselling all the waste from these wars." Anyways, the U.S. military issued a June 18th memo to DynCorp International to plan on shutting down base services at Kandahar Airfield as part of the drawdown. The airfield, where an estimated 30,000 troops and contractors once operated, is now unrecognizable. I've been up there a couple times for physical security stuff on my second tour, and that's where the infamous poo pond is. I mean, this thing had like 4 giant lakes processing 30,000 troops, like turrets, just right out in the open, right in the middle of the heart of the base.
That's healthy.
They have super.
Bill Gates probably looking at his chops at the opportunity to make clean water there.
Oh, yep. Yeah, absolutely. What a treat that was.
It's Bill Gates' Super Bowl.
But I mean, that place was absolutely massive. Super. Yeah, he really does. It's true.
Bill Gates fucking loves poop. People don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, security has also
probably
diminished.
More than Odell Beckham.
True. Unless we forget. Security has also diminished in the province since the February 29th U.S. Taliban deal. And the Taliban are now launching attacks on the city's outskirts, and hundreds of families are fleeing from the fighting throughout the province and nearby Helmand. And so winter's approaching. Here's all these people living in threadbare tents and really suffering and struggling. So hopefully they can get their paws on one of these Connex boxes and sell something to help them out as this goes down. The shrinking of the U.S. and coalition presidents in Kandahar has demoralized Afghan security forces. Yeah, if I was them, I'd be like, oh, I can either get murdered or dip out. Bye, I'm gone. So this was, I feel like this whole thing about the Bush Bazaar is a giant metaphor for something. I don't quite know.
I think they should make President Bush draw a big old billboard and have it just like they would south of the border going into North Carolina and
George
South Carolina.
Bush's Kandahar Bazaar.
Yeah. And it's just a bunch of like caricatures of of George Bush in like a cowboy hat and shit. And they're, what do they got back there? They're selling like, I don't know, some dumb shit like Kevlar's and a couple magazines and things like that. That's all they got. And of course, every Disney film ever made.
Hi, I'm George Bush. Come on down to the Bush Bazaar in Kandahar. The price is so good, you'll slap your mama. But yeah, I can definitely see some sort of collab there. But really interesting looking through the photos of how this has created a whole kind of underground black market. And it's always crazy to me that we're talking Connex boxes full of legit, never used, expensive ass gear that we have completely lost track of, that they just have. Like, it's across the board. It's all over Afghanistan. Every base we've left behind tons of equipment, and it's either for the enemy or for...
Well, we saw it, like, the videos of those Russians, I think, in Syria, who took over the American base that we just kind of left behind, and they took all of our shit, and they were wearing it and just goofing around in it.
We've pretty much just spent 20 years building an infrastructure for the Taliban to take over, which is super
cool. Just basically doing hand-me-downs to the rest of the world.
Enjoy. We're giving Afghanistan a head start on life.
Yeah. Anyway, well, sort of. The Taliban, at least. So on Zero Blog 30, Kyle put out there, what is the biggest waste of money you saw in the military? We got a ton of super lame answers, like the Air Force Academy. I don't know who said that one. Cons. Mm-hmm. I had said one of the biggest wastes I saw was when we would go to field ops and ranges. If we had extra ammo or whatever at the end, instead of turning it back in, because the process to turn back in live ammo is such a pain in the ass for the higher-ups to have to deal with, they would be like, everybody just aim at the dirt and shoot until you run out. Like, and there was no training value to it. It was literally just shooting like 6 feet in front of your feet on 3-round burst for like a fucking hour, taking turns so your rifles wouldn't overheat. And that was it. That's ammo ain't cheap. Like, considering there'd be like 200 of us online just hitting the ground in front of us for an hour. Pretty crazy. And we got so many answers like that too. So many people saying, oh yeah, what do they call them? Expendos or something like that?
Spendex.
They were talking about dumping ammo over the sides of ships, just firing into the sand. So many people saying the same thing. The only other one I could think of off the top of my head was from my second tour on Leatherneck. They had this $13 million blimp that they were so proud of. And so it had cameras on it. It had like infrared, night vision, regular. And it was this giant
Aerostat.
Aerostat. I have pictures standing in front of this blimp with my team looking so proud that, like, whatever. And they put it up in the air, and literally, like, a month later is when the Taliban just climbed over the wall and killed some troops and fucked shit up. Like, they just, it was like, oh, a balloon. Anyway, like, it did absolutely nothing. It was $13 million. Anyways, Rascally Ryan said deliberately breaking vehicles by smashing lights and stabbing SEALs because you had to find three things wrong with the vehicle every time you did a PCMS or PMCS. I mean,
that sounds a little ridiculous. Legitimate.
But to destroy things when you get told to fuck something up, that is so much fun. Like, there was this Al-Qaeda middle ground of where they would steal diesel fuel and all kinds of oil and shit like that and put them in these big compounds. There was one outside of Fallujah, and one night our team had to go out. It was like probably 20 of us or so. And we went to this compound where they had all of these different oil things that they had stolen, and they're using it to finance all kinds of terrorism and shit. And they're like, just go in there and fuck everything up. Like, destroy the vehicles, drop incendiary grenades into the engine blocks, set things on fire. like you tell Marines to do that. It's like, woohoo! Like, we get to go fuck some stuff up and we get to capture some bad guys. That's a good night's work.
And if the higher ups are telling you you're not going home until you find three things wrong with each vehicle, you're fucking up the vehicle. You want to go. Yeah. You don't give a fuck.
Oh, this brake line is cut. That's not good.
Yeah, wow. This one's really fucked. All right. See you on Monday. That's a good one. R. Font said, saw a perimeter built around the control tower at TQ. Is that to Crete? Mm-hmm. Assessment said the fence wasn't far enough away from the structure, so they built a second perimeter fence around the first for a total cost of $900,000. Classic.
For fucking sand, man.
The ridiculous part, like, that number right there, $900,000. Like, why is it $900,000? Like, where'd they come up with that amount?
Right. They have the bulldozers and shit. How much money does it cost to operate one? You already have one.
Exactly.
There's so much red tape that they... This one, I would say any civil affairs project in Iraq or Afghanistan, I would say 90% of it was taxpayer waste. This person said, let's tweet it up. Jason said, military paid $1 million for over 100 Afghan trucks of gravel to make a more stable way for our LAVs. That's tanks for all the tank heads out there. We left the patrol base for a good 3 weeks later, and the gravel was still piled up. I remember our civil affairs people were trying to start. They were buying actual garbage trucks and trying to start like a Tuesday morning garbage pickup in Marja, Afghanistan, where there was no electric or running water or anything. It was like, what are we doing here? What's the plan?
And it's always something like somebody has a good idea, but it's like good initiative, bad judgment. And that's essentially the entire military budget. Like when people say we upped the budget, I'm like, dude, just take – we need Ben from Parks and Recreation to come in. Ben Wyatt needs to come in and just do a complete overhaul of programs that we have that are just completely useless. I mean, you could – I would say you could take the budget down by a third and not lose anything.
Oh, yeah.
No, maybe even more than that. You're absolutely right.
But third easily.
But we would require just a smidge of thought – and a smidge of a little extra work, so that's never going to happen.
Yeah, we're not
If you told the Congress people who are in charge of those districts, it's not going to affect your reelection at all. We're going to take a look at the military budget and cut it by a third. It's not going to be allowed to affect anybody's reelection campaign. You could do it in an hour. Mm-hmm. You could figure it out.
Very easily.
Well, another big answer we got was fiscal year funds are about to drop. Send us your wish list. And like you said, that's the way the system's set up. If you don't spend all the money you're given, you get less the next year. So your higher ups are like, pick out any dumb bullshit you want. Yeah.
And that's because of the officer and higher enlisted promotions. Like you put that's a line in your fucking thing.
The
where
more
you put
money
it in there,
you're in charge of every year.
I spent $2 million, like in charge of a $2 million budget. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, save the government this much money by implementing these. Like, that's what it should be.
So in line with that.
Looks better if you manage more money than saving money, trust me.
Yeah, so Prince of Alaire, like, piggybacking off that said, my second lieutenant spent $16,000 on TVs, $3,000 on speakers last year, and they're still in boxes in his office. I bet you money that's an end of fiscal year thing.
I'm surprised those TVs haven't just kind of maybe disappeared and found their way into somebody's home.
You gotta give it 3 years. That's the statute of limitation.
This is a good waste of money that I didn't think of. At Josh tweeted said, I once did the math on overlapping shifts doing redundant Sunday field days using expensive paper towels in the engineering plant. So this guy was an engineer. On Sundays, whenever they switch shifts, both shifts had to clean. When I told the CMC that it was costing the command about $10,000 a year in supplies, he laughed and told me to go back to cleaning. So like we do, especially all the offices we just cleaned redundantly over and over all week long, we probably wasted a ton of money in cleaning supplies.
And you can't go down to Costco and get it. You got to get that from the government place. It's like $4 for a thing of Comet.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Haley Teller said gassing up the plane only to take off and dump fuel because of use it or lose it budgeting. So we're not only dumping ammo, we're just dumping fuel into the sea. And then finally, Paul Carson said, I once took over 200 perfectly good PC computers to a parking lot at Dermo and set them out to be rained on that very day. San Antonio schools or anyone really could have used them. But because the government was done, because our unit was done with them, they just got set
right.
Out
and you can't just go hand them off to somebody. You got to account for them. So handing them off,
even
to
if you're
schools,
in a unit that has nothing to do with national security at all.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Bet if taxpayers could read the list of what goes to Dermo every year, like they might feel something inside.
Oh,
they
I don't
might
think they
give
care.
A fuck.
Like,
no,
I don't think so. Like you look at the list of how much an F-35 costs, and we're still like, cool.
Yeah,
F-35 was
care.
A couple people. There was one. I went TDY. This is Gajewski. This is the last one I read. But I went TDY to guard some F-35s. We were staying in a 5-star hotel. We each had our own room. We were there for a week, and the F-35s never came. We made $900 in per diem, and we never had to leave the hotel. Yeah, pretty much everything surrounding the F-35 is a giant gaggle fuck. So that's a treat too. So just tons of waste. Good time.
I had when I was out on my remote outpost, we had just a normal military tents, you know, the green tents that everybody has. But it was obviously very hot there. So they had this civilian company come and they spray this foam. And it's about 6 inches worth of foam. And then it hardens and it acts as insulation. So I'm standing there watching these guys do this to these tents the one day. And I'm just a curious guy and I'm bothering the dude. And I'm asking him questions. So I said, so what happens like when we're ready to leave and we don't want to use these tents anymore, so you guys just come back and like chip away at the foam and then like we fold them up and give them back to us? And the guy looked at me like crooked, like, wait, are you serious? No, we just freaking leave them here. Like that's it. We're basically improving the tents to then destroy them later and then leave them there. It's unbelievable.
That's kind of Afghanistan in a nutshell. That was the plan.
It really is. So. All right, let's move on to round number three. It's going to be brought to you by 3Chi. Our friends at 3T are helping folks sleep and helping relax. You're not feeling anxious or any of that stuff because they are the first ones to do it. It's an industry leader in hemp-derived cannabis products, and all products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA-grown hemp. And they released the Delta 8 products. They were the first to federally do so, being legal. They're the first THC products in America that were legal until Prohibition almost 90 years ago now. It's Delta 8 is the federally legal version of the THC. You can get the gummies. You can get the vape. You can get the tinctures. You can get all kinds of stuff. They got, I think they even got like brownies and shit now. Go to 3chi.com, enter the promo code 0 to get your 5% off. They have vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. So you can cook it up. You can do all kinds of stuff. Make sure you go to 3chi.com with the promo code 0 for that. All right. So for round number 3, it's the Navy SEALs are back in the good news. Like, this is good, right? Like, do we have a good story involving the Navy SEALs for the first time in a while?
Hooray! They did it.
All right, good job. So early in the morning on Saturday, U.S. military forces rescued an American hostage helped by a group of men and that were armed in northern Nigeria, the Pentagon announced. No U.S. military personnel were injured during the raid. Following the Pentagon announcement, President Trump tweeted that it was a big win for our very elite U.S. Special Forces. Multiple news sources identified the hostage as 27-year-old Philip Walton, an American sitting living in Masalala. Right?
Masalala.
Masalala.
Yeah. Masalala.
A small rural village in Niger near the Nigerian border who was abducted by a group of 6 men. And now this is, obviously, this is a great story of him getting rescued. But who wants to take this guy? Listen to what this guy does. Walton, who kept camels, sheep, and poultry, grew mangoes near the border of Nigeria, and he was kidnapped. If you are a mango farmer, you do not deserve to be kidnapped.
I agree. I thought you were going to go a different direction and say the man who kept camels, sheep, and poultry might not smell amazing.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that you'd be a camel farmer. The long days that it must take to be a camel farmer. Unbelievable. He was kidnapped by 6 men with AK-47 assault rifles who arrived on motorcycles at his home in southern Niger's Masalala village on Tuesday. Saturday's rescue operation was coordinated by the U.S. government. And it goes on to say that the American and Nigerian officials did not believe that the hostage takers were affiliated with a terrorist organization because the Pentagon did not identify which units were involved in the operation. They didn't know at first, but now they're saying that it's SEAL Team 6. They always come out and say it. You don't really hear it when it's Delta that's involved. You don't always hear it. Mm-hmm. But you hear which SEAL team and which number it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess maybe leave it to the Army to be more professional about this sort of thing.
No.
I guess so. The SEALs killed all but one of seven captors, and this is a badass line.
It is.
They were all dead before they knew what happened.
Let that be a lesson to the rest of yous out there who want to get meddling. That's fucking badass. That's fucking super badass.
I know. Like, those are the type of things where we give SEALs a hard time because a lot of them are in the news for some bad shit lately and writing books and doing all kinds of stuff.
But 99.9% just good, badass motherfuckers.
And going in there and doing this and rescuing somebody who didn't do anything wrong and just going in there and just cleaning house and you don't have to worry about anything else. Just pack things up and go back home. What a feeling that would be.
Yep. Especially when you find out that the 7 guys who took the guy aren't even, like, terrorist-related. It's like, oh, you poor, stupid men. You just, you untrained idiots. You have no idea who's coming for you right now.
They thought they were just having a fun time. Maybe we'll just capture this dude, steal some of his camels. Yeah, that was a mistake. Captured the wrong guy.
Hey.
Good to see. Hopefully there's no book written about this, though. I'm really hoping.
Oh, there definitely will be. I don't know if it lasted long enough. I don't know if it had enough notoriety. But then again, you talk about killing 7 of 8 people. People read about that.
I'm not saying the story's not worthy of a book. I just need the SEALs to go back to what they used to be, where they just did their job and that was the end of it. And maybe we'll hear about the story 20 years later, but maybe be a little quieter.
I feel like you got to hear about this story, though. Because, I mean, if you're a terrorist or a bad guy and you're like, hey, I'm going to go kidnap this dude.
Fair point.
But those 6 guys got whacked before they even knew it was coming. That's pretty good PR.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, also a good angle.
Good for recruiting, too, if you're Navy SEALs, that you can go in and actually kill some bad guys every now and then.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number four. Not going to spend much time on that. Let's get into this one, because this one is a lot more juicy. We like juicy stories that come to us from the Navy. We're not going to spend time doing what good the Navy is doing in the world. We're going to go back to something bad. This one comes from San Diego. Kate, walk us through it.
Ah, San Diego. So Brooks Alonzo Parks was a naval logistics officer serving in the Western Pacific, and he was often quite specific about what he thought he deserved in exchange for insider information he was leaking to military contractor Leonard Francis, a.k.a. Fat Leonard. You might remember that name from episodes past, the squirrely fella. The investigation into the web of corruption spun by Leonard Francis has wreaked havoc on the Navy's ability to fill senior leadership roles, unintentionally stalled hundreds of officers' careers, and thinned out the service's flag ranks. The six-year-long Department of Justice probe into the Fat Leonard scandal has resulted in 33 federal indictments, 22 guilty pleas, and Francis admitting to authorities that his company, Glenn Defense Marine Asia, has overbilled the Navy by $35 million to support port visits by U.S. warships. So no small beans there. So they
get into it a little bit about what they actually did, because the Fat Leonard thing, while I was reading about it and how far it reaches, there was like 450 officers that were interviewed about it that had some type of knowledge about. I mean, 450. That's a ton.
And so this Brooks Alonzo Parks, when he was, okay, Fat Leonard, I'll tell you X, Y, Z. Here's what I want in return. Here's some of the specifics that he was asking for. A case of Hennessy Pure White Cognac. A whole case of it. Another was a $4,000 a night room at the Ritz-Carlton in Singapore.
See, that sounds worth it. I bet that is an absolute delight. You just get so pampered. There's no chance they don't have a robe that's like 3/4 inches thick.
And he felt it because he wrote an email to Francis's company saying, "It feels good living like a king on an E6's salary." What an idiot. Parks admitted back in 2007 he'd been bitten by the bug by joining Francis's deep network of naval officers who leaked proprietary info to give his company an edge in exchange for bribes. On Friday, he followed the same path of many in that network by being sentenced in a San Diego federal courtroom to prison, slightly less good than a 5-star Singapore hotel. The U.S. District Judge Janice who has overtaken the massive court case involving Francis, handed down 27-month term. He also has to pay $24,000 in restitution. No word on if he drank all the cognac. I'm guessing yes. If he's an E6, for sure he drank it already.
And so a lot of people are like wondering what that actually entails, because I saw different rumors about what goes on, and they finally explained some of what like people like Parks did. And he was in a position to offer Francis intelligence on ship itineraries, competitors, and pricing to boost his company, which provides post services for the Navy ships. In relation, that's why he was named Fat Leonard, because the girth, it lasted from 2006 to 2010. Like, that's a long time to be doing some undercover shady shit.
That's a real chode of crime. You might say very wide, well, very thick.
I think when you get something going that long, though, too, it's a pretty well-oiled machine. So you get less and less scared that you're going to get caught. You think at this point, no one's really noticing, so why not just keep doing it?
I bet, too, Fat Leonard's competitors were probably going nuts, because it was probably so obvious that they had some kind of in going on, that they kept winning all these fucking things. I bet they're so finally, these motherfuckers got... I loved... Parks, why do you think he wanted that fancy hotel room, by the way?
I got a very special lady meeting there. My wife is coming to Singapore.
Yes, he had a lady coming, a very special lady, and he wanted to impress her. So there you have it.
Yeah, and that's how you get it done. But I was going through the list. They have this list where they say all the different ranks of people and what they are off bribed. You could tell who's a good negotiator and not. Like, if I was a business, I would go through this list and be like, all right, you didn't get hardly anything. You really got it. You're a good negotiator. You could come work for me after you get out. Because some of these people got crazy shit. Like, there's this one commander whose last name is Meiswick, who is the commander of the 7th Fleet. Francis supplied him with prostitutes, cash, luxury hotels, international airfare for himself and his family, and tickets to Thailand's concert by Lady Gaga, and a Lion King performance in Japan. He supplied Francis with information about vessels' movement, including submarines as well as ballistic missile defense plans in Asia.
Now,
I feel like that's burying the lead.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like saying that you can't give away ballistic missile defense plans in Asia. That's a pretty big deal.
That feels like you're giving them a significant advantage in a look into our Department of Defense that
but
we don't
know. I want you to take your little Nazi finger and point out where all the artillery are.
But Commander Misiewicz, commander of the 7th Fleet, into prostitutes, but also a family man. He's banging a stripper behind the dumpster, whatever, but he's also taking the kids to see Lion King.
Well, maybe his family is older and they're adults and he wants them to get a little strange too.
True. That's true. All right. Awkward. I'd say that's a good one. I say that guy knew how to bargain.
Yeah. The next one is Captain David Too Tall Lausman. And Kate, just for those wondering, what is an 06 in the Navy?
Pretty happy with themselves.
Pretty happy. They're a captain. That's captain. Right, Kate.
Okay.
So Lausman and his wife were alleged to take a luxury trip to Thailand paid for by Francis. And he allegedly got a gift of an $11,345 Versace handbag. But that's it. And a night at Manila's presidential suite. You got to get more. The other guy got way more.
Yeah, you got to ask for more. That's
I think some of these people are probably like, I don't want to get too greedy and raise any red flags. So I'll just take the Versace handbag and the one night stay, and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
Now, this is the last one that I'll share. And this guy, he did it right. This is Commander Sheed. Commander Sheed claimed to have paid for a stay at the same presidential spot in Manila. He met up with a guy there, with three other guys there. Loveless drained the hotel of their entire stock of Dom Perignon champagne during a raging multi-day party with a rotating carousel of prostitutes, according to the indictment. Room and alcohol charges exceeded $50,000. And an email, Sheed told Francis, "It's been a while since I've done 36 hours of straight drinking." In the case of the former Australian Defense Force Lieutenant Commander, Sheed was also allegedly helping coordinate different schemes, and they called themselves the Wolfpack.
That's so perfect.
How about that right in?
That's so perfect.
Bunch of olds trying to relive the old glory years.
I'm not saying it's the same, but growing up Catholic, and then you find out all this stuff about the priests and the cover-ups and blah, blah, and it ruined my faith in the church. This is the kind of thing that could ruin, like, at this level with these high of leaderships, to ruin your faith in command is a huge deal.
You're talking about somebody that's the commander of the entire 7th Fleet?
That's a huge fucking deal to the very core of the Navy. That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's a huge blemish. You know what I think is important to note? That it doesn't matter how well you do your job in the military. Your pay is your pay. It's based on your rank. It's based on your time in service. No matter what you do, whether you're the crap bag down the hall who just sits on his computer all day, or whether you're leading the 7th Fleet, your pay is your pay. So it's very easy, I think, to succumb to these bribes when it's positioned to you in such a way that you don't think you're going to get caught. Obviously, every time people do bad things, they don't think they're going to get caught. But my point being, these very lavish gifts and lavish nights, when you're busting your butt for 20 plus years in the military and really seeing no additional fruit for your labor, I get it. I get it. I would never. Would never.
And there's so many people busting their butts who say no to this kind of thing.
Right.
And who just continue doing the right thing. But I will say, I would be, if he came to me and I had a little nugget of info and he was like, I will build you a beautiful, beautiful lazy river in your backyard that will be maintained forever. It comes with a pool boy. I'm going to tell you where the rocket is, you know? I'm probably going to give in.
I mean, you honestly, right now, with where we're at in the pandemic, and it's been so long since I've taken like a trip anywhere, if you said that I could stay in the presidential place in Singapore or in Thailand,
yeah.
Buddy, what do you want to know?
Yeah, I'll tell you anything. I'll finger your butthole while I'm at it. What do you want?
Could you possibly want to know?
Sure.
I don't know what I know, but I'll let you know it. I mean, I imagine the massages there are unbelievable.
Absolutely. I wonder how they vet this information, too. If you could just feed them a bunch of bogus info just to get the gifts. Maybe just for the one time. Then they realize, like, oh, Chaps, he gives bad info. Don't give him any more bribes. But you've already had your president.
I'd give great info, Cons. What is that about? I would give unbelievable.
I was thinking about it, though. What bribes would I take? And I thought of two very clearly, like the Versace handbag or the night stays in hotels. That doesn't really do anything for me. If you gave me a membership at a golf club for a few years, I talk up for that. And also, if I could eat for free for 5-10 years at my favorite restaurant. Those two things, and I think I'd give you some good info.
And here's some links to some Vineyard Vines outfits I like, too. If you could, you could send those my way.
Yeah. That was a good
here's some
kid.
Loafers I enjoy. Oh, boy.
If you want to get out and not have to do things shady, you can go get out of the military and get a job with our friends at InVets, because there's 80,000 job openings in Indiana. That's an unbelievable amount, by the way.
Yes, that's great.
InVets.org is a digital connection point from employers looking to hire veterans. InVets works with employers from all different industries across the state of Indiana to create a second door in the hiring process. I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity, legitimately, because so many people are without jobs. The fact that people want to hire veterans is great. InVets veteran engagement team is standing by to work with you right now. Just go to invets.org/zero to create a profile, learn more about the Indiana communities, browse the current job openings for those communities, and receive a free t-shirt. That's invets.org/zero. Great organization doing great things. They want to help you get a job. Let them help you. I mean, that just makes sense.
It certainly does.
It does. All right, let's move on. To finally, we're going to have a little bit of a voting quiz. And I wanted to see how much you guys actually know about the history of voting, the Electoral College, and things like that. First of all, I want to get your thoughts on the Electoral College. Do you guys think it should stick around or go away?
Go ahead, Kate. I'll let you answer first.
Okay,
what is the Electoral College?
Okay, there's 538 presidential electors. Okay, so yes, your vote sort of counts, but every 4 years they get together and they're the ones who give like the official votes for whatever. I'll be honest, like I understand the layout of it. The Constitution leaves it up to the states to decide how these electors will vote. But it's, I still find myself asking like, wait, why am I voting again? Like, I still like, I'm still kind of confused by it, to be honest with you. So I don't fully get it. Yeah. That wasn't helpful.
Cons?
No, yeah, you know, it's one of those things that it's so old that I think people are just afraid to touch it at this point. They think, okay, we've been doing it this way for so long that they don't want to change it. But we've changed so many other things in this country and the way we operate that I would be in favor of at least examining maybe some other options on how to get the president elected. Because when you consider when the Electoral College was created and the reasons behind it, I don't know that that necessarily holds as much weight as it did 300 years ago, 250 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah. Kyle, you look like you wanted to say something.
Kind of. I mean, we're a republic. We're not a democracy, necessarily. And to stop a form of mob rule, I think the Electoral College has a place. But I think I would agree with Connor that it is pretty old, but we might be able to come up with something. But then I look around and I'm like, no fucking way could we actually come up with anything
right.
that works.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily advocating. I'm not saying abolish the whole thing, but maybe tweak it. Tweak it.
Or at the very least, stop this notion that every vote's the same. It's fucking not. Like, the votes that are going on in Iowa, Florida, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, and the other swing states, Pennsylvania, like, those votes right now matter a lot more than the ones that are coming out of New York. Like, they just do, because New York is definitely going to vote blue. So then, like, you kind of stop it. And I think they're the bigger issues with the fucking Senate, honestly. Like, the representation in the Senate is terrible. I feel bad for the people with D.C. not having a senator. Like, what's that about? Like, they should be states. I don't understand that.
Well, I mean,
the
Senate has its purpose. It's not the House of Representatives. They serve different purposes. and they have a different role inside the government.
But you definitely, if you live in a state like California or Texas or Florida or New York that has huge amount of the population and them getting the same type of representation in the Senate, I think is, it can be off. Like sometimes I'm sure it's good, sometimes it's bad. Yeah. I guess that's the way fucking politics goes. But I have a little quiz set up for you guys to see what you actually know about it. Are you ready?
Yes.
You guys can be on the same team.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Which state is the most overrepresented in the Electoral College? Is it California, Tennessee, Wyoming, or Maryland?
No, I don't understand the question.
I feel
most overrepresented.
They have the most electors per population, like per capita.
And say the choices again?
California, Tennessee, Wyoming, and Maryland.
I feel like my brain is telling me it would be Wyoming because it'd be a state with not a lot of people, but comparatively more elector people, so I would say Wyoming. But I bet it's California.
That's what I'm leaning towards, is Wyoming.
Wyoming. Okay.
Yeah, I would say Wyoming too, probably. Yeah, Wyoming.
It is Wyoming. That's right. So every state has electoral votes equal to the size of its congressional delegation, the number of senators plus the number of representative. Since every state has two senators, at least one representative, the least you can have is three. Mm. As a result, Wyoming, the least populous state, is the most overrepresented in the union, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Powerful next little buddy.
Up, yeah. Next up is, what state has the longest winning streak of voting for the candidate that ends up being elected president?
Ooh.
Is it Arkansas, Missouri, Ohio, or Tennessee?
Ohio? Because I feel like that's the one they're always talking about. Like, oh, you got to see how Ohio votes. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say Ohio.
They do say that. You got to see how Ohio votes.
Blah, blah, blah.
You're right.
See?
You're right. It is,
yeah,
it is
see?
Ohio.
It's Ohio.
Ohio. All right.
Yeah, it's Ohio. The last time Ohio got it wrong, whoa, this goes back way longer than I thought of. They haven't gotten it wrong since 1960.
Ooh,
wow.
Hoppatoots.
That's pretty incredible. The other states broke long streaks where they're the ultimate winner, referring John McCain to Barack Obama in the 2008 election. That's what happened with Missouri. Mm. So they also had one. And before that, Missouri last got it wrong in 1956.
Wow.
Hmm.
Damn.
Hmm.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Good streak.
All right. What state has the greatest percentage of the total electoral votes in any one election? So this one I think is a little bit confusing. So in the history of the United States, what state had the greatest percentage of the total electoral votes in one election? Any one election, not totality.
California?
I'm going to say New York and go, this is probably from way back when populations were much more focused. So I'm going to say the state of New York.
Okay.
Cons?
I'm going to say New York as well.
The answer is Virginia.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it actually controlled 15.9% of the electoral votes in the election in 1792. There were only 15 states at the time, and as the country grew, New York became one of the most populous states with over 40 electoral votes in part for a large part of the 20th century. That's pretty incredible.
Hmm.
Damn.
Classic fucking Virginia. Mm. All right, last one. Starting with 2016 and heading back in time, what location has voted for the same party in the most consecutive elections?
Ooh.
Mm.
Is it Alaska, Idaho, Minnesota, or Washington, D.C.?
I would almost say Idaho. I feel like you know where they're leaning. I feel like I'm going Idaho. No, Utah.
I'm going to say Alaska.
Yeah, I think it's Alaska too.
The
answer is Washington, D.C.
Oh my goodness.
D.C. was granted electoral representation in the early 1960s by virtue of the 23rd Amendment to the Constitution. The district participated in its first election in 1964 and voted Democratic and has never voted any other way since.
Interesting.
All right. Pretty crazy. There's a lot of things that we don't know about the elections. Go ahead, Kate.
I still can't believe that Puerto Rico doesn't have like voting representation in Congress. Like, I feel like on my second tour, they were, who we shared the building with was the Puerto Rican National Guard. And they were like, yeah, we can't vote. And I was like, what? Like, what?
Yeah, I think that'll change soon. I think they'll probably get statehood and so will D.C.
I think D.C. will get rolled up into another state.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. I just think we can't be afraid of change. We can't just go with the old adage, well, this is just how we've always done it. Well, that's okay. It's okay to change. It's okay,
okay
to adapt.
I'll keep that in mind when I try something new on my charcuterie board this coming week.
I think the first thing you need to focus on is learning how to pronounce charcuterie.
Never.
Never.
Don't do it, Kate.
I'm not.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. What do you got, Kyle?
Not a whole lot for me. Just real happy to get this election bullshit over with. I don't think I care either way. I just want to watch a football game and not be bombarded by ads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't think that's going to go away. I think that's going to stick around. I think we're in a rough spot for the next... I don't think it'll be decided until probably the first week of December is when I would say.
I think that's about right. I think that's about right.
That sounds unfortunately horrible. That
sounds going to stink.
Or maybe it'll be about Easter. Once after Easter's over, it'll basically disappear. It'll be like a miracle.
Yeah.
I don't, let's hope. An Easter miracle?
Yeah. All right, Kate, what do you got?
What do I got? I had another appointment for the Bubba on Friday, and all is well. He's growing like a weed. He's 13 ounces, which is the same size as the mug you get in a flameless ration heater for a thermal cooking.
Wow.
If you're out in the field. So think about them apples. And also I'm starting to feel him karate chop around a little bit, which I believe are, feel, I don't want to shit on him, feels like tan belt moves.
Oh,
so yikes. Yeah, kind
very
of
very beginner,
little embarrassing.
Oh, this recruit,
better flare that heel.
Ashley, you stop eating Easy Mac at 2 a.m, please.
Yeah. So anyway,
this recruit has diarrhea.
But, so this recruit wishes she had it. I still can't take a dumper, guys.
Cons, what do you got?
You know what? I'm really at my wit's end with the gosh darn Associated Press. Still, we got Oregon and we got USC ranked. They still have not played a game. They very well might have good teams, but we got teams who have played anywhere from two to seven games. I don't understand. I know this year is different, but please, for the love of all that is holy, stop ranking teams that have yet to play a game. It's no longer the preseason. Start ranking the teams that have played games in their season. It's
are
annoying.
Are we the first podcast of all time to have beef with the Associated Press?
We might. We might.
We might be.
No, Associated
Alex Jones
Press.
Jones had a podcast, so he probably
oh, true. All right, fair. Silly
Associated Press, going. Roll up. All right?
All right. Well,
I'm tired of it.
I hope they do. I hope you get home tonight. There's a bunch of nerds.
It's going to be like DARPA. They're just going to tear us down on Twitter. Thanks a lot, Collins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, also, you know, I appreciate Mariah Carey and all that she's done for the pop genre. But it seems like every year, earlier and earlier, she's trying to force that damn song on us. I saw a video she posted like on Halloween night. Enough, Mariah.
I got to tell you, I was walking through the Upper East Side this weekend, and all the bars are outdoor now. And it was afternoon on Saturday, which people were making their main Halloween party time, I guess, like all the brunches. And All I Want for Christmas Is You was blaring from this one bar, and all the girls in their little Halloween costumes were on the sidewalk getting down, and boy, did I want to be drunk.
What is it, baby?
Anyway.
No, I just, you know, I don't know. Do your own thing, whatever.
Can people who listen to Mariah Carey this early kick rocks?
Yep.
Well,
okay. Well, all right, I'll update the list.
Okay.
I'll update the list.
Mine is just a personal note. I switched over to a PC from a Windows computer or from a Mac computer, and I'm really enjoying the process so far. It's been lovely.
Good. Can I talk to you about that for a second?
Yeah, let's do this.
you so often remind me of just being in the military. I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong here. Was there anything wrong with your Mac? And your computer
I was
setup.
Going really slow, and there's some things I couldn't do, like processing stuff. And
you leave it out in San Antonio Dermo in the rain? Did you just take it over there?
I thought you just woke up one day and said, you know what? Got a little extra money in the budget this month. Better spend it.
Well, sometimes I do that. I'm just like, fuck it. Like, if something's going wrong, I don't want to do it. Well, and with a Mac computer, once something goes wrong, there's really no fixing it. It's not like you can upgrade it or anything. And and mine was like from 2012, so it was time.
Tell all business Pete I'm using 4Play Podcast, old laptop from like 6 years ago.
Oh, now you've moved on to a foreplay. You used to have a PMT.
Well, I have that one sitting right underneath this one. It's dead.
I wish Pete respected the troops. That's what I wish. That's my Christmas wish.
That's it. I liked it. It sounds good. It looks good. So I'm enjoying it, no matter what.
No, it sounds great. I would love to see a picture of the new setup, if you could make that happen for us and for the listeners. I think everyone's curious to know.
Okay, I will. All right, I think that's it. Sound the retreat, everybody.